Ready? Thank you, Mike, and thank you, singers, leaders. All I can say is praise God, and praise God.
You bet.
Glory be to His precious, wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I appreciate you, folks. And artists, thank you for cheering us up this morning. That was so great. You have the gift of encouragement. And I would use it, and you do use it. It works for me. You encourage me tremendously. And with that, I'm going to try to do the same. To encourage you folks, not only to love the Lord Jesus Christ, but to adore Him and to fall on our knees and bend our knees like Paul did when he prayed the prayer on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through the end of the chapter. Saying that, I'd like to open this Greek class, not because it's a Greek class, but because it's the language of the Lord Jesus Christ that He chose on the year 350 AD to the year 350, from BC to 350 AD. That's 650 years in use. And in that 650-year use, He did a lot. He created a mammoth love for the beloved Son, who deserves all the glory and honor and praise. Yes. Yes. We'll open it up in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful conference. All of your conferences that are in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can truly say, even at the start of the conference, that this is a wonderful conference. Because you're a glorious God, a wonderful Savior who cancels out every single sin that we have committed against a great God by shedding the blood of the Son of your love. We have that knowledge, Lord, and we acknowledge it in our hearts. And I know I pray for every single believer before this Greek class begins. I thank you, Father, for the privilege to give honor and praise to Jesus Christ. And we all join together as one to give you that thanks. Amen. We're going to start with upholding the head, Jesus Christ, with just a couple of lines. And I will mention the line, and I will give you the scripture. You can jot it down, memorize it. I suggest that you write it down, and then look up the scripture. This will be in English. I will warn you, pre-warn you, that when it's going to be Greek. I love to lead a Greek class because it gives me a chance to not only to teach you a word or two in the Greek. We don't call them words in the Greek. We call them forms. That's why the Lord said, hupo tupesin, to have a delineation of sound words. A delineation means an outline. Like most of us speakers here, I should say all of us, we know how to jot down words. We know how to remember words. We know how to look up Greek words. I already know that you do know that. And if you don't know, I know you struggle with it. I still struggle with it myself. My wife helps me a lot too. Kathy. And we struggle together. We don't argue. Oh, we're an arguing couple, but not when we study the Greek and want to learn what God says. See, we accept Him as the owner of the universe, the creator of the universe, the creator of each one of you. Not the flesh. The flesh too, mind you. But I'm talking about the new creation. You're the church. You're the new man. You. There is no male or female in the church. But in the flesh, we each have a role. Males have a role. Females have a role. But in the church, there's neither male nor female in the church of the one body. That is so awesome to know. And that we are prepared for the Epiphania. We are prepared for that. Not that we got prepared. He prepared us, folks. We are prepared, and we remain prepared, and we're going to stay prepared for the rest of this age. And then it's over. No, it's not over. Then it's the beginning of another age. Probably just as long as this present age. In the Greek, aioni is this age. Aionon is the next age, and the next age, and every age after that. So in this aioni, we can await for the ton aionon. And we belong there. And there's no end to blessings, bliss, pleasures, and they are all holy and they're all blameless. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I love to hear Mike's awesome when he says it. I know what he's saying, and I know in my heart that he's saying it for all of us. Isn't that awesome, Mike?
That is correct.
It's awesome.
It is.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Amen. It's awesome, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you again, artists, for that this morning. We had a great time at the Unique, and after, and now. And you said it was going to be a wonderful conference? Well, it is. Because Mike said it's not our conference. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's conference. Okay, jot down another scripture. I gave you 1:15, and that's Christ, the image of the invisible God. Christ, the firstborn of every creature. And that's my topic, the Creator. It's Colossians again, 1:15. Christ, the Creator again of heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Colossians 1:16 and 17. And I'm going to be talking about the Creator on my next class. It's not a class, it's a talk like yours is going to be. But I come on after, what's your name, sir? Did you say Ron? Yeah, that's Ron. Hey guys, this is Ron. Sorry, Ron, it slipped my mind for a minute. You know I'm just kidding. Okay, and then Colossians 1:16-17, Christ, Creator of heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Visible and invisible. He's the Creator of all things, visible and invisible. This flesh is visible. The new man in you, in Christ, is invisible. He created that one too. He created the post-tax revelation, where we learn about the mystery, the mysterion truth, Musterio, Musterion, Musteria. All those beautiful words. And you know what? It's not a secret anymore. It's been revealed already. It's been revealed because you, not because it's been revealed, but because you heard it. And once you hear it, it has been revealed. And you've received the epignosis of it. The epignosis is the knowledge of it. And it's not the knowledge of it. It's the acknowledgement of it. You received that epignosis because you acknowledged it. It means because here's the knowledge I'm giving you. Even in the English, you look up the word knowledge in the 1828 dictionary, the old one. 1628? What is it? Somebody tell me. You sell it as DFT. What is it?
It's 1828.
1828. Okay. You look up the word knowledge there, and that definition of knowledge is really not knowledge. It's acknowledge. You see? And you get the feeling of it, you get the sense of it, you get the wisdom of it, because it isn't knowledge until you acknowledge it. And that knowledge belongs to you. Acknowledged. I hope you get what I mean. I know you do get it, because that's epignosis. And the word of God in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4, if you have read it, and if you have read that you've been chosen since before the foundation of the world, you are a chosen, created creature of God. A new creation, a new creature, a new creation. We're going to talk about that, new man. You are the new man. Hello, church. New man. That's who you are. And if you have knowledge of that, you don't have knowledge. Do you not? Do you have knowledge of that? Do you?
Yes.
Yes. So that means you acknowledged it. And that means you heard it. And that means that you are a new creation in God, in Christ, and that you have knowledge and have acknowledged the post-tax revelation that God gave to Paul for the good of the Gentiles. You have the acknowledgement of it if you received it. So now now you know the epignosis. Epignosis. Can everybody help me and say epignosis?
Epignosis.
You know Koine Greek. Tell me that you don't, and you don't have acknowledgement. Well, in the Greek, it means acknowledgement. And you have a fuller knowledge. So you have a fuller acknowledgement by reading, it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. You understand by reading. And there's some more words coming here. I'm just kind of just giving you an introduction of the Greek class. And so far, this whole conference has been awesome. Awesome. From the food, the labor, the effort, the getting here, like Mike says, it's awesome to see you folks here. I'm sorry I didn't see you in Peru. We were doing the Lord's business there, where we were. And the rest of the church, wherever they are doing the Lord's business also. And I don't know who they are or where they are. But we have to wait until the Epiphania to meet them. And you will be empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ to recognize each and every one of them when you learn from the Greek or anything translated into English from the accepted Greek text. Any language, I don't care what language it is, as long as it's taken from the Koine Greek. That's right, because that's the one Jesus Christ gave us. Like I was saying, we won't know their names, but we won't have any trouble meeting them. You'll know them by the way they say, I bow my knees unto the Father, just like Paul did. Just like the man Paul the one we are to imitate. Mimetos. We are to imitate that great apostle. I'm not giving Paul any credit. I give all of that credit to the Master, Amen. Jesus, the Christ of God. Lovely, beloved Son of God. One guy that I remember dearly that has this same knowledge and acknowledgement, I can mention two. One of them is Larry Dyer. Another one is Carl Nain. I can mention a few more. And I can mention a few live ones. Joe Watkins. Gunther. And what's your name again, sir? Ronnie, I forget your name.
Ronnie.
And this Polish guy here. He tries to pretend to be an Italian. And so do I. I'm not Italian. I'm Spanish. Si habla español. Yo mismo. Somebody who speaks Spanish around here? Barney does. Oh, well, Barney taught her a few Spanish words. Right, Barney? Whoa. You should have said that. I'm only joking. You know I am. I speak the Spanish language, but not as pretty. It is a beautiful language, and not as nice as Kelly does. She learned it formally. I learned what I know from Grandpa and Grandma. And when they say, come here, quick, right now, they don't say it very formal. You know? They say, get your tail over here, buddy. Eat your bean. You know? That kind of stuff. Anyway, I'm going back to the unsaved world. Wait a minute. Hold it. I was saved then, but I didn't know it. Because I was saved and chosen since way before the foundations of the world. Amen. And so were you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Okay, here we go. Are we going to get some Greek or not? Here we are. Okay, here we go. Let me finish with upholding the head, Jesus Christ. Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 1:18. Christ, in whom the fullness was well pleased in him to dwell. Christ, that would be one, in him to dwell. That would be 1:19. Keep that one in your mind and in your heart. Christ, who ascended far above all heavens, that we may be filled with all things, where he is sole owner and possessor of the title preeminence in glory, honor, time, and dignity. Ephesians 4:10. Christ, who is the beginning. When you read in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that word in the beginning is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, who is God, created the heavens and the earth. He's also the beginning in John 1:1, and that's Jesus Christ also. In beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory like the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Praise God. And He's our Greek teacher today. If you want to learn Greek, He will teach you the Greek. I believe it in my whole heart, and I want to learn it. My goal is to learn fluent Greek, reading it and explaining it to beloved people like yourselves. That's my goal. And I know I'm getting there. I know it. I'll show you in just a minute. And I hope I have more than 1 minute left. Yeah. Okay, Christ who ascended far above all heavens. Did I read that one? Yeah. No, I didn't. Christ, who ascended far above all heavens, that he may fill all things. Oh, yes, I did read it. For he is sole owner of the title of preeminence, 419. Christ, who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And with that, we'll get into the Greek. Now, all those Christ. Christ is in Genesis 1:1, and he's in page 1 of the Bible. And he's clear over there in Revelation. Christ. Every page, every single page of the Bible, you see Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's great. Okay, we're going to go into the Greek. Turn to your Bibles to Colossians 1:27, and I'm going to explain in the Greek. I'm going to say the word, the form rather. And then I did an interlinear type of thing. You don't have to understand the Greek, but I picked up this translation from a lexical. You're going to get the lexical focus of this Greek translation of Colossians 1:27. Kathy's got it up there on the... I hope you can read that pretty good from way back there. If not, I'm going to read it for you. This is ois ethelesen ha theos gonorisai ti ta plutos theis doxeis, that's glory, tu musteriu tu en tois ethnesin ha estin Christos en humin, e elpis teis doxeis. Okay. I can't translate it without reading it. So you learn by reading in English. But this English is taken from the lexicon, so you know it's accurate. So here it is. To whom God did will to make known, in other words, God wanted to make known, what is the wealth of the glory of this, the mystery among the Gentiles, who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that rich? That is rich, especially on the lexical focus viewpoint. And you can have, you're more than welcome to have a copy of this. I can give it to Mike, and Mike will forward it on to you, like the original plan. But I know you've been awfully busy. You've got some stuff that we still have to send up.
Yeah, I'll do that if I can't.
Yeah, and if you really want it bad enough to learn this Greek and this accurate definition or translation of that verse, you can contact Kathy. I know she will send it. Just contact her. You can be sure that you will get it. I'm going to read it again in English. And try to read it yourself. Because God is true to his word in chapter 3, verse 4 of Ephesians. We're going to read that. Remind me after we get translating this now. Colossians 1:27, to whom God did will to make known what is the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, what were you going to remind me of? Is this your water, Mike?
I may want some after a while.
Maybe.
It's 3:4. What's it say? I've got a lexical definition here, so check in your Bible and see where it differs. Okay, as to whom by reading you are able to understand the insight of me in the mysterium of Christ.
That's 3:4.
That's 3:4 of Ephesians.
I know it's a little bit different from every translation, because this is a lexical translation from the Greek, from the original Greek. From the Koine Greek, yeah. Okay, Ephesians 1:5. Got the transparency to slide down there. Can everybody view that okay on the screen? If you have difficulty, you can step up and look at it, because if not, you'll hear my voice. Okay. In Ephesians 1:5 says, For the word glory that we mentioned above here, the Greek word is doxēs in this verse. And Ephesians 1:5 says, for glory is the will of the Father. See, glory is when you receive revelation. When you receive revelation from God, from a glorious God, you're receiving glory yourself. And if you get it from the Scripture, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, after He has given you some revelation. So, in 1:5, you will see the will of the Father. In verse 11, you will see glory as the work of the Son. And in verse 13 through 14, you'll see glory as the witness of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, the Son of His love. Marvelous, marvelous to know Him. Okay, we're going to go into a different Greek verse here. And it's 2 Timothy 2:7. I'm going to ask Kathy to place that there on the screen. And while I read it, I'm going to tell you what this is. I'm going to give you a little bit of grammar. It may go whoosh way over your head, but I will keep you from missing it by giving you a full explanation of what the grammar meaning is. You'll know when what you should know, and just exactly when you know it. I know you won't understand the Greek. It's naël. You don't know what that means. I'm going to tell you what it means. It means consider. Consider. You've heard Brother Dyer say, okay, you guys, consider what I say, and God will give you understanding. Raise your glory flag, folks. Remember that? Yeah, remember Larry doing that? Yeah, I remember him. I'll never forget it. Because he's a brother. He's a brother. He's alive today. Okay, now don't go around saying, "Oh, Eddie said this." Well, you can believe that, or you don't have to. I know you believe it. Larry was a new man, and he's not dead. He's in God's presence. And I don't mean the rapture or the epiphania came already. No, the Scripture says he's in God's presence. And I believe God. Read Ecclesiastes 12:7 sometime. Or just this Scripture, the Scriptures that we're sharing right now. Hey, we died all right. The flesh dies. It's going to die. It's going to go. Hey, we don't want it anyway. It says mortify the flesh anyway. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Okay. Noel. Now you know what that means. Consider. Noel ha lego. Dose gar. Soi ha. Kurios. Sunesin. Sunesin is understanding. Consider what I say. Lego. Like legate palin. Say it again. Lego. Comes from legate. Consider what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in all things that He created. And He created the post-tax revelation. He created all that. It's all true. It's mysterion truth. He creates all good things, all things, creator of all things. And all in the all things, tapanta, is post-tax revelation. Yeah. All right. Consider. This consider is a verb. It's a verb. Okay, consider. It's imperative. You consider it. Thank you, Lord. I will consider it. Okay. It's also present. Present, it's a imperative mode, present tense, and it's active, active voice. All right. So it's, and it's, and it's second person singular. Second person is the person spoken to, and it's singular. You're speaking to one person. And it's active. So who's he speaking to here in second person singular? He's speaking to me. Yeah. What's he saying? He's telling me to consider what I say. And I will give you understanding. And the Lord will give you understanding. Yeah. Who's he speaking to? How many can tell me who he's speaking to? Who is he speaking to? Huh? To me. Second person singular. He's speaking to me. If you read it, say Noel. Okay, who's he speaking to? Who is he speaking to? Artist. Who's he speaking to?
Speaking to me.
That's right. Who's he speaking to? Huh? To you, that's right. To me. Everybody who reads this can say, he's speaking to me. Yeah. He's speaking to me. No ill. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you revelation or understanding or revelation. He'll give you glory. Glory. Revelation is glory. Remember that. Glory from somebody who is glorious. A glorious God gives glorious things. He gives you understanding. That's a glorious thing. So He gives you glory. Peace, love, joy, understanding. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this glory. Think on these things. Think on these post-tax revelation given to Paul for all the Gentiles. And it's also for the church to be encouraged and to be enriched and to tell evangelists, Evangelion. Evangelion. Good news. Good news, it means. Evangelion is good news. Glad tidings. Gospel. That's the gospel is the post-tax revelation, folks, given to Paul. And when he heard it, and he acknowledged it. He spoke like a new man. Thank God a big breath came out. And Paul went out preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Artist was telling us this morning how wonderful Paul was and what he did. And what Moses did when the bush spoke to him, to Moses. That bush speaking to Moses. Bushes can't speak. That light from that bush was Jesus Christ speaking to Moses. Jesus Christ was speaking to Paul when he was on the way to Damascus. Is that you, Lord? Yes, it's me, Paul. And the devil always getting over. He even the devil got into Ananias and he said, Lord, you don't want to pick this guy. He's a sinner. He persecutes Christians. He kills him. What's the Lord saying? I have chosen this man. He is my chosen vessel. Artis is my chosen vessel. Eddie Medrano is my chosen vessel. And what's your name, sir? Roddy. That's it. Sorry, Roddy. You know I'm just kidding. He is my chosen vessel. I chose him. Dillman. Roger. He is my chosen vessel. Anybody who said he is speaking to me, anybody who said me, he is my chosen vessel. That's my chosen vessel. Whoever said me. Who said me a while ago?
Me.
Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of
me.
Yeah. Proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah,
that's right.
You're a chosen vessel. It says so in Ephesians 1:6.
Right here. I think it's 1:6.
So what's that tell you?
Yeah. It's 1:4, 1:6. I want to ask Mike to read this. 1:6.
Remember the glory.
1:6 of Ephesians.
Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of the grace of him by whom he favored us in the one having been loved.
In the one having been loved. Amen. Thank you. Okay, the favored there is actually highly favored. He chose you because he are highly favored. Highly favored. He highly favored us in the one having been loved, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of his love, Jesus Christ. Okay. So, we left off at Noel. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I've got a lot of them here. I've got enough here to last us forever. 'But we'll hear them in our glorified body. In our glorified body. Write down Philippians 3:21. And that's one of the most wonderful, they're all wonderful promises of God in the post-tax revelation. But 3:21 is a promise that we will have a body fashioned like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great and wonderful truth. Here's another one here that he's speaking to me also. Is that 2:7? Yeah. No, let me give you 2:15. Because that's one of the major... Got up. Okay. Prudason, you'll know what that means in a while. I'm sorry, wait a minute, hold it. I made a mistake. Hold it. Spudatson. Seatan dokiman parastesai to Theo ergatein anepais kuntan orthatamunta tu logon tes aletheas. Okay. It starts with be diligent. Read your own scripture translation while I read this to you. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman unashamed, on a straight course, keeping what? Keeping the message of truth. Keeping the message of truth on a straight course. Okay, I know what some translations say. I've read a few translations. And this verse begins in popular versions. It begins with study to show thyself approved. And I picked this up from Barney at the last Pell Talk. I picked up a lot from that, on that study. Over here, it's not study. It's be diligent and stay with the context. This is contextual here. Be diligent in keeping the message of truth, i.e., post-tax revelation message. Yes, that's what the context is all about. That's what the subject is all about. The context, that's what God means to be saying. Be diligent. And it's imperative to be diligent. This is a verb, imperative, aorist active. It's timeless and it's active. We're to be doing it yesterday, today, and forever. Just like he had it in his heart, in his Congress before the foundation of the world, for Paul and for the church. To the new man. This is for the new man. Okay. In English, here it comes. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman unashamed, on a straight course keeping the message of truth. And we went a little farther before when we said, among the Gentiles. In Colossians it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mysterion, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Glory now, not glory way, way, way up ahead. We have glory today. We have revelation today. That's not all. Peace is glory. Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering is glory. And we learn that by sharing with Paul's long sufferings. We're not on a picnic, but we are on a glorious event. We are on a glorious, wonderful experience right here while we are in this flesh. This is just flesh. When it fades away, the new man will still be there. He'll be there, just as strong as ever, strong in the Lord. Immortality is here. Live forever is here. We were sharing this morning in the scripture about the Word of God is alive. Okay, the Word of God is alive. That's Hebrew. That's not post-tax revelation, but that's Hebrews 4:12. And Hebrews 4:12, I just wanted to get a lexical definition on that one. And I'm going to give you the transparency in a minute here. And I know time is getting short. Okay, so I think I have time for this one. Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to read part of the Greek, and then I'm going to go into the English so we can finish on time. 4:12. Son gar ha lagas tu theou kai energeis kai tamoteros huper pasan my karan this let's see, this is a sword. Distaman, kai, piercing is suknumenos, akri, merismu. Okay. Okay. The Word of God is alive. Yes, it is alive. We know it's alive. But the definition, the lexical says, living is the Word. The Word of God is living. For living is the Word of God. Also effective and sharper than every double-edged sword. And piercing until division of soul and spirit. There's some division there to be made. Separating the soul, the soulish, from the new man. That's what the Word of God does. If you say, how am I going to get rid of that flesh and spirit when all I am is flesh, all I do is I want this and I want that and I want the other? Well, you don't have to be concerned about that. Once you hear what the Lord says, you don't have to be concerned about it or be worried about it. It says here that the Word of God can do that. Listen to it. Living is the Word of God. The Word of God is alive, sure. But it calls for a participle there. The Word of God is alive. It's not a participle. The grammar calls for a participle. Living is a participle. For living is the Word of God, also effective and sharper than every double-edged sword, and piercing until division of the soul is from spirit, the joints and marrow, and to discern the thoughts and insights of the heart. And there's that word that we discussed this morning at breakfast, merismos. Merismu, division of soul and spirit. Okay, that's 4:12. And that's not post-tax revelation. That's for the Hebrews. It's in Hebrews 4:12. We have something more superior than that. Far more superior than that. We have the post-tax revelation. Remember, folks, the post-new man, I'm talking to the church now. The new man. That we have something far more superior than any other calling. You were chosen in this calling in Ephesians chapter 1. If you take Ephesians chapter 1 and read it all lexically and seriously, translated from the original Greek by using your concordance, Strong's, whatever, and really follow it, And get a Greek text that's reputable and dominant, you're in fine shape. Because let's not forget that still today, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and many other things. It's good for encouragement. It's good for acknowledging. You can acknowledge the Son any time you want to. You can bend your knees unto the Father any time you want to and ask Him. And He will answer you that quick. In other words, He knows what you're going to pray for. He knows what you're going to ask for. Tonight when you pray, He knows what you're going to pray for. He already knows. He knew you since before the foundation of the world. He knew when you were going to come into the church. And He knows what you're going to pray for tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do at the Ayonon after Ayonon. He knows that. The Lord knows it all. And it's all in His beloved Son and the fullness thereof, which is the church. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.